Well, thank you, ladies. I appreciate that. That's good. That's good. Take your Bibles, if you will, please. We're going to turn to Genesis chapter 14. Everybody have a worksheet? If you didn't get a worksheet, just slip your hand up. They'll come by and give you one. Anybody need a worksheet? Just slip your hand up. Working our way through the life of Abraham here on Sunday nights. And I think this has been a big help to a lot of folks. Big help to a lot of folks. Genesis 14. Help me here now. Abraham was an ordinary man, so he had ordinary faults. He had ordinary fears. He had ordinary failures. And I believe he had ordinary faith. Now, when I say that's ordinary faith, it's a faith that any person can have. Any person can choose to have that faith. It wasn't a faith that only Abraham could have or only David could have. It's faith. Jesus said, if you had faith of a grain of a mustard seed, you can take this tree and pull it up, this sycamine tree, and plant it over here. Or you could have, if you have the faith of a mustard, you can move a mountain. Well, so that's a bigger deal than the sycamine tree. That's because it's not the amount of faith, it's the faithfulness of the Father, the power of the God, the one you have faith in. Faith is not feelings. Faith moves forward. If you're not willing to take that step of faith, then the faith is still dead. Go back and talk to James about that. Because Abraham believed God, he was saw as what? He was saw as what? Friend of God. And not only that, because he came out from among them and was separate, he was seen as a part of the family, a son. God said, I will be his father. Now God gives a command, and he has a promise, and he has the capacity to fulfill that promise. Then we commit ourselves into the hands of the Lord, and he completes the promise. We've been learning this all along. We want to keep those principles in mind as we talk about these different spots in Abraham's life. Applying these things, it's not a new principle every time. Faith is faith. Now the promise may be different, the command may be different, but the actual exercise of the faith is not different. You say, well, that was okay, that was easy, but this really takes faith. It's the same God. What is the faith in? All right, faith in the faithfulness of God. God can be faithful in a little thing. God can be faithful in a big thing. God can do a little thing. God can do a big thing. It makes no difference to him. He might need to give us, he might need to command the ravens to feed Elijah, like we talked about this morning. Or he could speak in the word and say, let there be light, and there's light. By his word, he created the universe. But by his word, he has some birds bring some food over to Elijah. By his word, he made the widow's cruise never waste. The meal was always there. That's no big deal for him. It's no harder for him to do that than to create the universe. So our faith is not feelings. It's moving forward, having faith in the faithfulness of God. Not faith in our faith or faith in what we can do, but faith in the faithfulness of God. Let me read a few verses here. We're going to read chapter 14. Hate to read the whole thing, but it's the whole story. Genesis chapter 14. It says, and came to pass in the days of Amraphel, there's going to be a bunch of them here. Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elazar, Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of nations, that these made war with Bera, king of Sodom, and with Bersha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Admah, and Shemamber, king of Zeboiim, and the king of Bela, which is Zoar. Now they made war with Sodom and Gomorrah. By the way, where's Lot right now? In Sodom and Gomorrah. Why did he choose to go over there? Learned last week. Oh man, it's the green plains over there. It's well watered. Well, we can make a lot of money over there. Verse 3, all these were joined together in the Vale of Siddim, which is the Salt Sea, the Dead Sea. 12 years they served Chedorlaomer, and in the 13th year they rebelled. Now, I don't know whether if Lot was there for 13 years, 12, 13 years. I don't think that's necessarily the case. It's just that's what was going on in that city. And I think Lot kind of came in. And by the way, he thought he was going there with his freedom. You go in the world's changed by something too. Verse 5, and in the 14th year came Chedorlaomer and the kings that were with him and smote Rephaim in Ashtaroth, Carnaim, and in Zuzim, in Ham, and the Emmons, in Shaveh, and Kiriathaim, and the Horites in the Mount Seir, and unto Elparan, which is by the wilderness. And they returned and came to Enmishpat, which is in Kadesh, and smote all the country of the Amalekites, and also Amorites that dwelt in the Hazazotamar. And there went out the king of Sodom, and the king of Gomorrah, and the king of Admah, and the king of Zeboiim, and the king of Bela, the same as Zoar. And they joined battle with them in the Vale of Siddim, with Chedorlaomer, the king of Elam, and with Tidal, king of nations, and Amaphrael, king of Shinar. I think I already said this once or times to the rest of those guys, but I didn't. Anyway, and four kings with five. And the Vale of the Siddim was full of slime pits. And the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled and fell there. See what it says? And the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled and fell there, and they that remained fled to the mountain. And they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals and went their way. And they took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And there came one that had escaped and told Abram, the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre with the Amorite brother of Eshcol and the brother of Aner and those that were confederate with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, speaking of Lot, he armed his trained servants born in his own house, 318. 318. You just named all these other nations that's against them. So he gets together 318. I lost my place here. There we go. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them into Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them, and pursued them into Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women also, and the people. So Abraham goes out, and saves the day. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer. And the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheveh, which is in the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, means the king of peace, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. Abraham gave Melchizedek tithes of all. And the king of Sodom said to Abraham, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou should say, I have made Abram rich, save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which went with me, Aner, Ishko, and Mamre, let them take their portion. Let's pray, and we're going to talk about the topic, when you have nothing but God. I didn't mean to make this sound like end up being a lot where we were this morning, but the Lord knew all about it. He timed it all together. But we're going to kind of hit it from a different angle when you have nothing but God. Let's pray. We've got a lot to cover here. before we go. Father, we thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your word. Thank you for these dear folks who've come back here this evening to hear from you. We're supposed to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, and Lord, we ought to know it. We ought to learn it. Learn your promises. Thank you so much for the life of Abraham. And thank you that you have given it to us, warts and all, issues and all, doubts and all, fears and all, faults and all, failures and all, that we know that we can also come to you, and you are touched with our infirmities. You know our issues, and yet you called us, you saved us, and you love us. Lord, I pray that you'll bless this time. Lord, be one who doesn't know Christ as their Savior. Pray the night they'll come. Not really talking about that, but Lord, you can do your work. Maybe somebody's in the middle of making a decision. Lord, help them to see the truth. And maybe this is a principle they need to understand. So Lord, put it in your hands, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Now, Abraham's legacy is that he believed God and was counted for righteousness. He believed God and he was called a friend of God. This is something that every single person can do. Now, the covenant that God gave Abraham was this. He said, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house, into a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. That's a big blessing. That's a big promise. And the fact is, Abraham cannot die until there's enough going on there to be able to fulfill God's promise. At this point, he doesn't have any kids. In fact, I think that's one of the reasons why it's so long for them to have kids. Of course, the anticipation and knowing that they're having kids when they really can't, you know, that's one thing. But the fact is, because he had not yet had kids, he can actually rejoice in that because he can't die yet. Because he doesn't have a kid. Isaac has not been born. It's almost as if he's immortal until God decides he's done. Now, what we are to learn from this covenant in the life of Abraham is that God keeps his promises and holds up his end of the deal, no matter how lopsided, no matter how strange the promise may be. Now, listen, God did not give us this promise. He did not give us the promise that he's going to make us a great nation. He did not give us a promise that he's going to bless those who bless us and curse those who curse us. He didn't give us. It's the Abrahamic covenant. But the point of this is this. This is such an absurd deal, such an absurd covenant, that when God says, I'm going to keep the covenant, he means it and he shows it. So when God gives you a promise, he means it. He's not going to back out. If he'll keep the promise to Abraham, he'll keep his promises to you. Now, God will do what he said he will do, even when it seems unreasonable, even inequitable to us. Now, we are to learn that we should, Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not on thy own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him. Get his strength, his direction on it, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. That's our job. Fear God. Do right. Don't do wrong. God keeps us the promises. Well, it's not our job to help him keep our promises. Well, I think God wants to do this, so I'm going to do this. Even though it's not quite right, there's a little compromise in here, but this will go. No! That's what Abraham did. We're going to find that out a little later when they try to get Hagar in on all this. And he says, well, how about my servant Eliezer, maybe? No! When God gives a promise, he gives a promise. Now, I didn't plan this, but apparently God did. There's a striking similarity between the message this morning and this evening. This morning, we're going to see what happens when we have nothing but God. Now, to get us going in here, I hate to do this to you, but we kind of need to, real quick, I got a little review there in the front from last week. Let me quick say it. Number one, the Lord has kept his promise. You've been here. Abraham went down to Egypt, came back. God is taking care of him. He's blessing them. He blessed them. Curse them to curse him. God is keeping his promise. Number two, we saw that Abraham acknowledges God several times. He goes back and builds an altar. And when he builds an altar, he calls on God. He gets the direction from God. God tells him what the next step is. He's in all his ways, he's acknowledging God. But when he went down to Egypt, he didn't do that. So he got down there and got himself in trouble. But Abraham generally acknowledging God. Number three, Lot, his nephew, if you've been here, you know where we are. Lot was blessed because because Abraham was blessed. He was going along with a man who's blessed by God. Lot was being blessed because Abraham was being blessed. Number four, Lot's people, his family, became proud over their blessings rather than humbled by the generosity of God's blessing. God's blessed them. Isn't this a wonderful thing? Instead of saying, you know what, we never had it this good. We were back home in Ur, running around with Uncle Abraham's doing us a lot of good here. But no, that's not what happened. They get proud. I think Abraham's folks are just kind of getting in the way. They get real big for their britches, and all of a sudden they don't need Abraham. They got their own way, and so they kind of get contention. By the way, any pride cometh contention. Number five, this is not a good time to separate their forces because we've got other people in the nation. They don't own all this land yet. It's God's. God's going to give it to them. But the fact is, there's all these other people here. And so it's not wise. And that's why it says there in verse 7, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwell in the land. But Lot decides, I'm going to separate from Abraham as if he doesn't need Abraham. Well, the fact is, it's not Abraham that he needs. He needs the God that Abraham serves. And he's separating himself from God's man, God's people. By the way, don't be a Lone Ranger Christian. I've seen Christians come around here and there, and some of them, you've probably seen over the years, there's some folks, and they're just as nice as they can be. But we have certain people who come in every so often, and they just visit. And then they're someplace else, and they're someplace else, and they just never really settle down anywhere. We need a people. We should not forsake the assembling ourselves together, as a matter of some is. But so much the more as we see a day approaching, what? Provoking one another to love and good works. That's what we need to do. But he said, well, that's the church. I know it is. But you've got to get a hold of somebody. You've got to get a relationship with somebody. You need some accountability. You know what I mean? And they see you week after week after week after week. They know whether you're living for the Lord or not. You know, in the abundance of words, or ones of not sin, you talk to them enough times, they'll find out whether you're walking with God or not. And you'll find out whether you're walking with God or not. You need to be with people. But Lot says, I don't need Abraham. I'm going to go on my own thing. Number six. So Abraham, watch. Abraham trusts God to take care of him. How's that? He says, Lot, I tell you what. You decide which way you want to go, and I'll go the other way. You decide which way you want to go, and I'll go the other way. Now, wait a minute. They're only out there because Abraham was called of God to go out. They're only being blessed and have a lot of money and riches because Abraham was being blessed. But you know what? You know what? You say, well, Abraham said, I shouldn't have. I ought to get the first pick. He didn't need it. Listen, when you've got God, you've got everything. So he says, I'm wherever I go, God's with me. So wherever I go, God's going to take care of me. So wherever you want to go, Lot, that's your business. You go. Abraham knew that God was his hope. Number seven, Lot trusted in the material world to take care of him. What did he saw? He saw the long, green, well-watered plains of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he says, you know what? I want to get in on that. It's a good place to build my business. Listen, we're big now. We're really going to be big. The problem is this. There's a compromise. If there is compromise in a particular direction, that's not the direction to go. Well, I'm not doing what they're doing. Listen, you're assembling yourself with the wrong people. What did he tell Abraham in the first place? He says, come out from among them. Leave your kindred. Leave your country. Cut out of that mess where they're idolaters, where they worship these other gods. And he came out, and Abraham separated himself unto God, and God became a father unto him. Lot went with Abraham, which was separated away from the world unto God. Now Lot has decided, you know what, I don't want to be separated unto God. I want to be separate from God. I'm going to be over here because I think I got a better deal. Just because a direction does not seem to be advantageous, that does not mean we should count out the direction. What am I saying? Abraham did not go to the well-watered plains of Sodom and Gomorrah. He got the leftovers. Well, that didn't sound too advantageous. Well, which way is God? That's the advantageous way. Most times, I have learned in my life, I'm going to be 58 years old this month. Whew. Thought my uncle, when he turned 30, that was almost dead. 58, and I've learned in those 58 years, and there are a lot of folks who are a lot older than I am, but I have learned that most times when you make a decision toward God, it usually looks less inviting. But there's greater blessing. Number one tonight. We all live in the same dangerous world. On your paper, we all live in the same dangerous world. Abraham lives in the same dangerous world as Lot. It said, it came to pass in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar. You know what Shinar is? That's where they built the Tower of Babel. Where they said, you know, we're gonna rise up to God. That's the people that were there. These are wicked people. Now, I'm not going to go through all those names again, but let me say this. Everyone else that was not mentioned, watch it. The Bible says title, king of nations. Title, king of nations. What's that mean? He was kind of a Attila the Hun type. All the people, the king of nations, he had some guys from here and some guys from here, and they're just out trying to plunder, kind of the Viking type thing, you know, Attila the Hun and all this stuff, just go out and take what everybody had. They didn't care. They'll slice them up, steal what they got, burn everything else, and leave town. That's who was coming at them. The world is a dangerous place. The world sometimes may look like it's good, but it brings bondage rather than freedom. I think that when Lot showed up in town, he saw all the stuff that was going on and thought this was great. He didn't realize that they were already in bondage to these other people and had been for years. That's just it. We think we leave the church and we leave all the rules and all the mess and we go out there in the world to be free. And now we're bound by the same mess that the world's bound with. You listen, you walk away from God and all of a sudden you're out there on your own. You're out there on your own and you don't know how to deal with it. So before long, you're down at the bar having a drink. You get bad enough, you're sticking a needle in your arm. You're popping some crazy pills. You're sniffing something up your nose and you don't know whether you're going to be alive in the next 10 minutes or not. You mess yourself up, you lose your wife, you lose your kids, you lose your house, and now you're out there and you're with this woman this night and that woman that night and this woman, and everything is empty. You thought you had nothing, but the fact is you had everything and now you have nothing. So all these nations are coming together to fight each other. Now wait a minute, they're not fighting against Abraham. They're fighting against these world here. It's like the First World War. These nations got all these together, and these all together, they're all going to fight. This group of nations were destroying and spoiling and taking over everything in their path. The world is dangerous. Abraham lived in a dangerous world. But you know what God said? Here's his blessing. He said, I'll bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. We got a problem. Hey. For we know that all things work together for good to those who love God or are called according to his promise. I glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations work with patience, and patience experience, experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. My God shall supply all my needs according to the riches and glory. Listen, there are promises after promises after promises. We seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things that we need will be added unto us. We don't need to go to Sodom and Gomorrah to get it. Wherever we are, God is. And if we're seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness, God says, I promise I'll take care of you. Number two, the world is not our refuge. The world is not our refuge. Lot decided, last week, he decided, I'm going down here to Sodom. He ends up getting in the town. He ends up being one of the leaders at the gate. Verse 10, it says, and the vale of Sodom was full of slime pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled and fell there, and they that remained fled to the mountain. If we live, by the way, if we live in a slime pit, the slime pit will eventually get us. They're living down in the slime pits. And they took all the goods of Sodom, Gomorrah, and all their victuals, that's food and provisions, and went their ways. I know any granny Clampett says victuals, but anyway, there's a good, it's a good Bible word there. You all don't remember granny Clampett? Hillbillies? Okay, all right. Anyway, and they took all their goods of Sodom, Gomorrah, and the victuals, and went their way till the Hun comes along here and takes everything. And they took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. Now, why did he go to Sodom? Because he thought he was going to get more out of the deal. Now, I know it's part of the world. But listen, the world will steal what you have. Ask the prodigal son. He went there because he wanted more, and now he has nothing. Why? Because his boys couldn't get along with Abraham's boys. Well, why was that? Because they had too much. Why did they have too much? Because he was with Abraham. That's where the blessing was coming from God, through Abraham. Letter B. Lot went to the world to have it all, and now he has nothing. He went to the world to have it all, and now he has nothing. Lot thought he was safe in the city. He didn't think he needed God. He had everything the world offered. Let me read some scriptures to you. I think I just gave you some. You can go back and read them yourself sometime. Psalm 26, this. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, let the king hear us when we call. Jeremiah 17, 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. That's what Lot did. His heart, he saw the well-watered plains of Sodom. He saw, he desired, he went. Remember Achan at Jericho? Wasn't supposed to take any of the spoil from Jericho. He saw, he desired, he took. He sinned. All of a sudden, there's that little fancy outfit and some gold seemed more important to him than God. Lot saw, and all of a sudden, the possibilities. For the love of money is the root of all evil. And for it, men will drive themselves to destruction. He goes on here, says, they're brought down, fallen, but thus say, Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. It's interesting. We're getting ahead of ourselves, but there was a salt sea there. That's where the slime pits were. Now notice he talked about they went all the far as Dan. Now, Moses is writing this. Dan was the area where one of the tribes were gonna be many years from now. But Moses was telling the people, it was over here where Dan is. Okay? And then he says, here over here where the salt sea is. You know why that ended up being the salt sea? Because when Sodom and Gomorrah was finally destroyed, fire and brimstone that came down destroyed it. Remember what happened to Lot's wife? She turned into a... There was something about it. Listen, it used to be that people used to go into a city, want to get rid of it. They would salt it down because it would literally kill it. We have some place along our yard where they put salt on the roads year after year after year. And it kind of kills the grass. Gets so much on there, after a while, nothing will grow. Imagine what God was saying when he did Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, we're going to salt this thing down. Proverbs 13:20 says this, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." Evil pursueth sinners. It's coming after you. But to the righteous good shall be repaid. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of a sinner is laid up for the just. Somebody else is going to get it. The world is not our refuge. Number three, anyone plus God is a majority. Anyone plus God is a majority. Now, actually, it's really God, and we get into what he's doing, okay? But when did you see the idea here? Am I alone? Well, you're no. It's you and God. You're good. Look at verse 13. "And there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite brother of Eshcol and brother Aner, and these were confederate with Abraham." In other words, there was a little bit of a deal there. "And when Abram heard that his brother was taken," speaking of his nephew, "had been taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan." Now, it's obviously that he was fairly well off at this point because he had 318 servants trained in his own house at this point. Now, that's pretty good. But when you've got this town and 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 this town, and they're all coming after you, you've got 318, all of a sudden it's not as big a crowd as you thought. Now, I don't know how many the other people had to bring into, you know, Mamre and Eshcol and Aner. I don't know how much they brought into the situation, but apparently not a whole lot. "And he pursued them unto Dan," verse 15, "and he divided himself against them, he and his servants by night, and smote them, and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also, and the people." So Abraham, plus 318 servants, defeated the combination of all these nations. Why? Because God says, "I'm going to bless those that bless you, and I'm going to curse those that curse you. I'm going to take care of you." Abraham can't die. Isaac's not born yet. God has given him a promise. Now, there was also Mamre, an Amorite, brother of Eshcol, and a brother of Aner. We know that. But it could have been 437, for that matter. The point being, Abraham did not have enough manpower to win and save Lot's neck. Abraham did not need excessive manpower because he had God power. He had his daddy was bigger than the rest of those daddy. He said, "Come out from among them, be ye separate, and I will be a father unto you." I know most of you have heard this story, but a few of you haven't. I remember years ago, Sterling was just a little boy. He must have been about three or four years old. And I was talking to some guy, and he was a great big guy. I mean, a great big guy both directions. And he was a really nice guy, but he was just a big guy. And he kind of bent down to Sterling, my old son there, when he was four. And he says, "Well, hello, sir. How are you?" And he kind of went by, and Sterling went behind my leg, and he says, "That's my daddy." Now, I don't know whether he thought I was going to, if this guy was going to attack, I was going to stand in his way because it wasn't going to happen. I mean, his arms looked like my legs. I mean, his arms were full of muscle and mine's full of fat. But anyway, his arms, he was a big guy. The fact is, you face the dangers of the world. We've got our daddy. Now, wait a minute. If you're not walking with daddy, then he's not there. I mean, he's there. He may save you, but the fact is, you're not really walking with him. It might be a little while that he comes back and he may save your neck, but you're not going to feel that comfort and that peace that you need to have. When we make God our trust, God does not fail our trust. Letter C, Lot. His name means a veil. V-E-I-L, V-E-I-L, a veil. It means that one cannot see clearly. It's like he has a veil on his face. Last night, when the storm kind of came through, and Janet was looking out the window. We have a screen there in the kitchen window, and the rain was kind of coming that direction. She says, "I can't tell what it's doing out there because the screen's so full of water, I can't see." When we walk away from God, all of a sudden, that's the way life is. We're trying to see what's going on. "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." 2 Peter 1, "He that lacketh these things is blind and can't see afar off." You walk away from God, all of a sudden you're walking away from your director, your eyes, if you will. Jeremiah 17:5, I quote a little bit. Listen to what it says here. "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord." That word cursed means seen as detestable. Thus not having the blessing and the watchful eye of God protecting them. Thus they're open to attack. And the attack of the world that is dangerous to all of us. Except they have a veil over their eyes. Lot left the Lord and was drawn to the lust of the world. It says, "For he shall be like the heath in the desert, shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. He will end up with nothing, and what he did have will perish." That's what Lot did. His trust was in man. His trust was not in the Lord. Abraham, letter D, means father of heights. Heights, H-E-I-G-H-T-S. Father, the lofty father. That means the one that can see past the immediate and see how his decisions affect the future. Listen, Bible says, again, in 2 Peter, "He that lacketh these things, hasn't diligently added to his faith virtue and virtue, knowledge and knowledge, temperance and patience." He says, "He that lacketh these things shall be barren." And he's going to be blind, not able to see afar off. Have you ever noticed, have you ever thought about how the world a lot of times make a decision and they don't understand what they're getting into? I remember when they said, "Well, we're not going to do a whole lot, but we're just going to make sure that same-sex marriage is okay." Do you realize a can of worms that you open up when you open up something like that? In fact, it all started when they decided to say, you know, homosexuality is okay. Well, now we got transgenderism. I mean, what a can of worms we open. We make one little decision. And we say, "Well, this is not going to be so problem." Yes, it will. You don't see where this is leading. Listen, all Lot did was say, "Hey, family, let's go down to Sodom. They got lots of stuff going on down there. They probably can take in a show or two. And there's lots of food. And listen, the area is nice place to raise your kids. Lots of opportunities. You know, we got baseball teams on Sunday morning, and you know, we got all kinds of things we can do. It's not that bad." No, but what's it opening up the world up to? What's it opening your life up to? Just a little bit here. Can't we see down the road? I'm going to be really mean here. Every time we tell our kids, "You know what? Let's take this Sunday off and let's do something for the family." No, you were doing something for the family. You were taking them all to learn the Word of God. Every time we do that, you know what you're saying? God's not that big a deal. Being in God's house is not that big a deal. And we're fine without it. Now, I understand when the kids are sick and those kind of things. There's things you can't avoid. I understand that. But it's okay. Well, the church is getting together to do something here. They're having a meeting. What does it matter? No, they do stuff all the time. I'm just telling you. I know a preacher's to choir here. You're here. Letter E. I'm sorry. Let me go back to 7. Let me go back there. Father of Heights. Jeremiah 17:7 says this. "Blessed is the man," speaking of Abraham now, that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters and that spreadeth out her roots by the river. And shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green. In other words, for he shall be as a tree. He isn't what when he starts trusting. The man trusts shall be. You start trusting, you're not there yet. He shall be. When he starts trusting, he's nothing but trust in knowing that he will be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth forth her roots by the river. Shall not see when the heat cometh, and her leaf shall be green. In other words, somehow he always comes out on top. Even when everything else is drying up around him, somehow it comes out on top and says, and shall not be careful. That means anxious, afraid in the year of drought. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? How are we going to make it? It's okay. God's still on the throne. He didn't die. He didn't fall off. Why are we so worried? Listen, there's a lot of people on anxiety medicine simply because you're not trusting God. You are seeing the dangerous world for what it is. I'm not saying that's not the case. I mean, some people don't even look at it. They just kind of blind themselves to it and just kind of get through and they just, well, let's just pretend it's not happening. It's happening. But God's happening too. I mean, he's a happening guy. He can do whatever he needs to do. He says, I'll take care of you. And we walk around, oh no, what are we going to do? You don't need to do that. Why? Because blessed is that man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope is the Lord. Neither shall he cease from yielding fruit. Just keeps getting bigger and better. Letter E. We choose whether we are Lot or Abraham. We choose whether we're going to play Lot's game or whether we're going to walk with Abraham. In fact, the thing is, we choose that almost every day. And maybe multiple times in a day. And I'll be honest with you, some of you folks that work in a secular job, you've got a harder job than I do. Not so much the job, but there's constant decisions, the constant pressure. Brother Nathan was talking about in Sunday school. We teach our kids, you know, don't do this, don't do this, and do this, and do this, and somehow we think we grow out of those things. Kids are not the only ones who fold under peer pressure. The kids are not the only ones who be bought with a lollipop. We'll sell ourselves down the drain because of some little shiny green pasture, but it's in the wrong direction. Letter E, we choose whether we're a Lot or an Abraham. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things. The same passage. You go back and read Jeremiah 17. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, and according to the fruit of his doings. Jeremiah 17:11. As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right, not doing things right, shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. Lot decided there's more riches down here. Now I know it's over there where I shouldn't be, and I know that I'm walking away from the blessings of God, but it sure looks good. He says it's like a bird who sits on an egg that's not going to hatch. And when it's all said and done, you're going to lose everything. You'd be a fool. Number four. Abraham knows from whence came his victory. Abraham knows from whence came his victory. Look at Genesis 14:17. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Kedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him and at the valley of Shavai, which is the king's dale. So the king of Sodom comes out and meets Abraham. Now he's saying, you know, I sure do appreciate you coming in there, getting our stuff back. That's really wonderful. I really appreciate it. Verse 18, and Melchizedek, king of Salem. Oh, we have king of Sodom, and we have king of Salem. King of Sodom is the king of the world's philosophy. King of Salem is the king of peace. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand. And he gave him tithes of all. You think about this. Abram was the one that did all the battle. They get all the stuff. But he says, I'm going to give God one-tenth of everything we got out of this thing here. Now, he didn't take anything from King of Sodom. So I'm not sure what all they had there, but whatever he got out of the deal, he gave a tenth of it to Melchizedek. Now, the world offers all that that is of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And if we're smart, we won't take any of it. Verse 21, and the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the person. King of Sodom said unto Abraham, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. Listen, we just came out alive. We're just so grateful. Whatever you got back, you can keep that. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord high, Lord most high God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldst say, I have made Abraham rich. I don't want anything from the world. My hope is in the Lord God. I don't want the world making me rich. You know what it's basically saying? And this is true. The world always has a catch to its generosity. We have our Christian school, and one of these days they may offer vouchers, but they count it as income from the government. We're not going to take it. It's funny how they do that. They say, well, we're giving you that money. No, that was your money. But they're going to say it's our money, and so it's our money, and just going to this school, we want to make sure that they're giving you a good education. So we're going to tell you how to educate your children. I don't need you. How are we going to pay the bills? Come on. And if he doesn't pay the bill, then maybe we aren't supposed to do it anymore, but that's okay. It's kind of like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, well, you know, if our God will save us from the fiery furnace there, but if not, we're still not going to bow. God will keep us going. If he decides not to, it's okay. We're still not going to bow. And Abraham says, I don't want your money. You keep your money. I don't want any of it. I don't want the world. Anybody saying, Abraham got rich by the world? No, God is what made me what I am. The world tries to convince us that we are our own God, but we're not. Let us see. Abraham gives back a tenth of what he knows the Lord has given him. Now, real quick, just so you know, I know it's late. Hebrews 7:1 said, for this, Hebrews 7:1 is talking about Melchizedek. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Talking about Melchizedek. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. There's a lot of folks who think that's the pre-incarnate Christ right there. I don't think you can argue with that. But he gave it to the Lord God. Letter D. When the Lord gives victory, we need to keep our heads out of the clouds and our eyes on the Lord. Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forever. Deuteronomy 8:18, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto the fathers that is this day. In other words, God likes providing your needs. He likes it when you can say, it's only because of God's grace. He likes it when there was no other choice but him. And he likes it when we make the choice of nobody else but him. That's not a problem to him. Letter E. Destruction could happen to any of us. Right? It could. Deuteronomy 8:19, and it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I will testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Why aren't we obedient to the Lord? Because we think it's not going to be advantageous. We're not trusting his promises. Number five, we're almost done. This is very important. If you get nothing else, get this statement. Ready? It is better to have nothing but God than to have everything but God. It is better to have nothing but God than to have everything but God. Psalm 118. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me, and he set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Look at it. All nations compassed me about. This is what it, look at Abraham. All nations compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compassed me about, yea, they compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compass me about like bees. They're quenched as fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song and has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles, the tents, the dwelling places of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth, I'm sorry. Right hand of the Lord is exalted. Right hand of the Lord doeth valiant. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. One last statement. We're done. I know it's extra long tonight. When you have nothing but God, you have everything. Isn't that good? When you have nothing but God, you have everything. Folks, there's times when you take a step and you think like you're taking a step out on nothing. But if that's where God told you to step, it's the place to step. It's a safe place to step. It's the only good place to step. Don't sit there and fret and worry and so forth. Well, what am I going to do with my life? What's going to happen here? Do right and depart from evil. What am I supposed to do? Do right, depart from evil. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Every time he wants it, find out what he says, and that's what you do. But if you're going to do your own thing anyway, don't expect them to give you the answer. You need to get to the point where you say, well, God, you're going to have to tell me because I'm not doing anything until you tell me. Walk with him. Let's pray. Father, we've been long tonight. Thank you so much for the patience of our folks here. More so than that, thank you for your faithfulness to us. Lord, if we could just learn to trust your faithfulness. Help us. Heads are bowed.